You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, July 15th, 2024. Grandpa Dan streaming with you at RadioAlbion.com. Before we get started, I want to take a moment to once again encourage you. We continue to put our Sven Longshank support links up here on the Daily Nationalist page. I thank all of you who have been sending him notes and letters and cards and words of encouragement. And I would continue to ask that you might continue to do so. Well, here is Monday, and you know what we got to talk about. There's no way we're going to do this show today on any other topic except the attempted assassination of former president, President Donald Trump. Now, what I wanted to do with this show was to come at this in a more, you know, starting off with what we do know. And, you know, then we'll slowly get off into things that we kind of suspect. And then we'll wind up having to do some extrapolating, some just thinking about it and doing some absolute best guessing. I've seen, since this went down the other day, I've seen all sorts of just absolute nonsense all over the internet as far as, you know, people saying this is going on, that is going on. Well, I mean, everything from Trump faked it himself, cut himself with a razor on the ear to make it look like something happened, etc., etc. We're not doing all of that. I understand that people like to make guesses, and it's entertaining to come up with ideas. I want to go with this, you know, step by step. What we know, what we don't know, you know, what we'll probably never know. You know, as much as the media likes to go on about quote unquote conspiracy theories, those theories are always going to be theories for a reason, because we're never going to be told what actually occurred. They're still lying to us about the JFK assassination, and that was how many years ago? Somebody was just telling me, just recently, they said, well, I'm looking forward to seeing the FBI report about, you know, what all happened here, you know, with this Trump thing. And I'm like, I just laughed and said, well, it doesn't matter, because you're guaranteed they're going to lie. They're not going to actually tell us what occurred, and they're not going to give it. They're going to craft a narrative. Now, starting off with things we do know, I actually jotted me a few things down before doing the show so that maybe this wouldn't be too convoluted. There are some things we can start with. There are things we're going to have serious question marks about, which, again, they're probably never going to actually answer. But the number one thing when something like this happens is you can always start with, this is my go-to default position, you know, where you start building from. Because you have to start building from somewhere when you're trying to get an idea, wrap your mind around what possibly could be going on here. And again, we're stuck theorizing because they're not going to tell us and we're not going to have all the information. But the number one place I always start when something like this happens is what we do know, without a doubt, and that is that the media lies. Now, they're going to, I'm not saying every word coming out of their mouth is a lie, but they are going to lie to us. They're going to sometimes omit a lot of things, or they will try to craft it. Right now, you can see that the media is busy crafting a narrative, which is just going to be another form of marketing. They're going to craft a narrative and then they're going to sell it to you. They call that a story. They craft a narrative and they're going to say the story. Right now they're working on it, and they're obviously working on it publicly. You see this kind of convoluted narrative trying to come together. And right now they haven't fully made a narrative to market to you. They're trying different angles and people are putting different things out there. There's a lot of water muddying going on. A good example of this is the shooter was a registered Republican. That is obviously 100% irrelevant. The guy was a leftist. I mean, we know he wasn't a Trump, you know, he wasn't a Republican. This idea, oh, he was a registered Republican. They're trying to muddy the water. They're trying to craft a narrative that this doesn't have anything to do with this guy somehow being a leftist, which obviously he's going to be. I saw another form of this. They were rattling on about, they were trying to muddy the waters with statistics. They classified this in the same category as school shootings so that they could throw a bunch of statistics at the viewers this morning. I saw this morning. So that they could, you know, throw all of these mass shooting statistics. You see, it's no different than a school shooting. It's the same thing. Of course, the part they were quite handy, and they threw January 6th in there as well. See, January 6th, same thing. See, and these school shootings, it's the same thing. Of course, the relevant little tidbit, and this is a good example to understand that the media always lies, the part they left out of that was virtually all political shootings in, let's say, the last 20 years were all done by leftists. They were perpetrated by leftists. The House Republican Congressman baseball game shooting, remember that? It was a leftist. You know, on and on. These acts like this to try to lump January 6th, where these people went in, walked around the Capitol being escorted by the police, as the same thing. This is just the media trying to muddy things up because they're busy trying to come together and craft a narrative. And once they finally come together on a narrative, they will market it to you. They will sell it to you. And again, we have to start with the media lies. Now, this puts us at a disadvantage because whatever information we do have on some level or another, at some point in time or another, it has been filtered through the media. So we have to be careful. And we have to look at it carefully. This is why it always turns into quote unquote theorizing, because we don't have the information. They're not going to give it to us. And we can be guaranteed that they are going to lie to us. I've seen a lot of distraction on this. I saw people arguing it on and on about the caliber of the rifle, as if that was relevant to understanding what has gone on and what has taken place here. These are all distractions. You want to look at these things and say, how is this relevant to understanding what's going on? You know, you want to filter all of that out. Some of this is just people getting out there and they get entertained by going on and trying to sift through details, and it turns into a big muddy up mess. And some of it, on some level or another, there are always going to be people who are employed to intentionally muddy things up and keep everybody going in circles. We want to avoid that. We want to sit back. We want to look at this as rationally as we can and try to at least get an idea of what we've seen take place. Now, I mentioned earlier some people saying this whole thing is fake, Trump's in on it. He just cut himself or something and he did this so it would help him with the election. If you watch Trump's reaction, we'll get into his reaction and others' reactions on the scene here a little later on. But if you look at Trump's reaction, and which I have, all of you have, when the bullet zings past him, it's 100% the way somebody would react. You know, you see him have a look of shock, and he reaches up and kind of swats at his ear. If you see him kind of reach up, swat kind of his ear and grabs his ear, I can guarantee you at that moment, he thought a hornet buzzed past his ear. I don't know how many of you have ever had the opportunity to hear bullets flying near you, but it sounds like a hornet or a bee. It's like it almost sounds like an insect flying by. And I would almost be willing to bet, if I were a betting man, that Trump's initial reaction was, I've got stung by a hornet. Something, ow, what was that sound? Because your brain tries to process things in a manner, and I'll get into this here, I think, a little further in a little bit, but your brain will try to come to an answer of what's going on, and it's doing it very quickly, but it tries to come to an answer of what's going on, what's most likely. If you're standing there and you hear zip and your ear hurts, you're probably, your first mental reaction is going to think something just stung me. You don't just go to someone just took a shot at me. That's just not the way. You're going to take things the most likely, and your most likely thought, he's in a rural setting, and he just heard a buzz. Now his ear hurts. I just got stung by a wasp or a hornet. Maybe, you know, it takes a few minutes. You know, also, these bullets are traveling faster than the speed of sound, so you're going to have that zip, pop before you hear the actual gunfire. His reaction to that was 100% what you would expect to see, the way we saw him react to that. So, you know, that was what I would expect to see, somebody having a bullet zip past them when they're not accustomed to that going on. So any notion that this was faked by Trump himself and he knew what was going on and this was all a stage, I don't believe that. I know the photo op of him pumping the fist and all of that looks really, you know, what do I want to say? That's really beneficial to him, his reaction to it, like he had that all prepared. And the way I saw his reaction to it is that's just the way a man reacts when he's got a lot of adrenaline going on. You know, you're a feminine reaction is to get scared. You know, and unfortunately, there's a lot of feminine characteristics in men today, so they're completely unfamiliar with that. But an actual normal male reaction with this something, you've been attacked, you've got this adrenaline pumping, and a normal male reaction is to get extremely pissed off. And when I saw him doing that and that whole fight, putting his fist, he was just mad. And people, you know, women aren't going to understand that. Effeminate men aren't going to understand that. I understood it the moment I saw it. He was just pissed off. If he could have punched the shooter, if the shooter would have been right there, he could have punched him, he would have done that. He was just really pissed. And again, that's a normal reaction. The fact that these things wound up with photos that are beneficial to him, I think that's just a side, a coincidental sort of thing. Now, another thing that we can be sure of, as we look through this, and we're trying to look at things that we can understand and be sure of. This was not, I'll say this again, 100%, this was not a CIA, Mossad, any sort of intelligence agency attempted assassination. 100%, that was not it. It was set up as one, incomplete. And what I mean by that is, if this was an intelligence agency assassination, CIA, Mossad, whoever, this is not the way they do it. Yes, the idiot Patsy on the roof, that part fits. And I understand that people see that part. When you hear lone gunman and some guy that obviously looks like prime candidate to be groomed on Discord, you see that element and you go, well, this rings true. This was some kind of intel operation. But if this was a CIA intelligence agency assassination attempt, there would have been at least two actual professional snipers. So in other words, the way that would have played out if this was a CIA operation is there's a countdown. Patsy on the roof may or may not take his shots, but your two professional snipers who will be at similar, perhaps slightly different angles so as they can create a narrative and sell it to you, will take their professional shots. You've got two different guys. There's not going to be a miss. You've got two different snipers, professional snipers, in addition to the Patsy. Whether the Patsy hits him or not is irrelevant. The media will sell that narrative. Think of the JFK assassination. And even to this day, they're telling us his brains being splattered out on the trunk of the cars because he was shot from the back. The media and the government will sell the narrative. That's not a problem. So in a CIA type of assassination, he wouldn't have survived. There's 0% chance. They have professional snipers, at least two of them. They're going to take their shots. Then, of course, your security snipers will kill the Patsy, and they say, our lone gunman, here he is. Now, again, people see the lone gunman. The guy's not obviously going to be mentally all there. It's a good sell. they see that element and they attach that and say, well, this is a setup, except you're missing the fact that there were no professional snipers on scene because Trump is still alive. And people will wait off and say, well, yeah, but maybe, you know, this was a setup to create, you know, buzz around Trump. Look, what would the setup be? We're going to let this guy go do this. And if he kills Trump, we'll do A. And if he misses, we'll do B. They don't do that. Look, they go in with a plan. If this is professionally done, they go in with a plan. If they go in with a plan to assassinate Trump, they're going to have multiple snipers set up. The patsy will be killed, and they'll sell the narrative of lone gunman. That didn't happen. There was just this guy. So they're not going to do some operation with just this guy, not knowing whether he's actually going to hit him or miss. In other words, an intel operation, a professional operation, doesn't leave it to chance. They're not going to leave it to this guy. They're not going to leave it to chance. So that's not the case. Now, what you could have, and I'm leaving this in the category of a possibility, is it could have been an inside job to the extent of some lower level agent that's infected with this Trump derangement syndrome. You remember back in 2016, you had the two FBI agents. They were like field agents, a man and a woman. It wound up they were having an affair with one another. And it was all this weird thing. And they were doing this back and forth of how they were going to stop Trump from getting in and all of this. They had these grand plans. You could, I think, conceivably have someone in, say, the Secret Service, lower level, not operating from above. Again, a professional operation is going to have a certain outcome which they plan for, not we're going to put this groomed person up here and hope for the best. But you could see some low-level, you know, diversity hire type of person, anti-Trump, that maybe did let this in. Now, some of this comes from the obvious fact. You have these obvious questions. This was not an urban setting. It's out in an open area. You have, like, basically a little batch of buildings over here. Why in the hell weren't those buildings secured? I mean, that is the big question. Even the media is asking that question because it's such an obvious question. It can't go unasked. They're not like in downtown Manhattan and you've got all of these multiple buildings. It's very difficult to secure. He's out in a field. He's basically in a field. There's one little group, you know, there's essentially one group of buildings over there. It's a no-brainer. You're going to go secure that. Now, the Trump people have been asking for more Secret Service, and they've been denied and all that. But they're pulling in state troopers, local cops, and whatnot. So, I mean, they could get the personnel to secure this little group of buildings. And yet that didn't happen. I'm also curious how this guy got up there. If there's a permanently attached ladder there, then that's just, again, accentuates the point of that building needed to be secured. If not, then what? Did the guy just walk up there with a ladder? That doesn't make any sense. And these things that don't make any sense tend to lead people to really getting out there. This doesn't make any sense. It's a question that needs to be answered. They probably won't answer it honestly. They'll come up with some sort of answer, but they won't answer it honestly. Now, you also had people on the scene that saw the guy crawling up there with a gun. And they're over there, people running around telling the cops, telling the Secret Service, hey, you've got a guy crawling up on the building with a gun. Nobody stops him. Apparently, now they're saying a local cop, I don't know if it's a state trooper. They're just saying local law enforcement. That could be a state trooper. That could be a local cop. It's a rural area. If it's a local cop in a rural area, let me tell you something. If you don't know, and this applies to all city cops, really. But the more rural you get, the more it becomes true. You know, they're revenue collectors. They drive around and issue speeding tickets. They're not going to bravely charge into a building to protect the public. I saw some officials, some experts. I'm expert. We have to talk to the experts. I saw some expert on the network news this morning talking about this, and he's like, you know, you're charged as a law enforcement officer to protect the public. They're not doing that. They're doing officer safety. And allegedly, a local cop crawled up there, and the guy waved his gun at him, and the cop essentially ran off. So the guy turned around and started taking shots at Trump. Now, again, that may be correct, it may not. We just have the information that's been filtered through the media. If it was a local cop, I'm not surprised at all. Officer safety, after all. And he's, again, I thought it was humorous, this expert talking about law enforcement, it's your job to protect the public. We know that's not the case. Especially in a rural setting, these local cops are revenue collectors. That's all they get paid to do. They're not going to go charge a shooter. It's not going to happen. Now, we're just saying that because we don't have, you know, you get people, you have to come up with theories because they're not going to give you all of the information. Also, I think another aspect of this, in people's minds, it's more comforting. I'm trying to think of the proper way I want to say this. It's more comforting to believe there was a vast, dark, deep state conspiracy at work here than is to say these people are just really incompetent. Now, we're going to get into this here. This is where I'm going to wind up kind of going with this. But I want to say again, we see levels of incompetence all across the board, not just in the government. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson did a recent show on the decline of Boeing. It's worth listening to. What was once the premier aircraft manufacturer in the world is now, they can't keep the wheels on the plane. They can't keep the doors from flying off. They're having a competency crisis. We have all of these laughable diversity hires in all range of government, not just at the federal level. I drive around and our roads are by and large third world tier in many places. You see things breaking down. Nothing is working any longer. And yet something like this happens and everybody starts from the assumption that the Secret Service is super competent. They train for this. It's just like on TV. And this is one of the things that's so powerful about TV and movies. People have watched so many TV shows. They've been marketed to by the media so many times, doing a interview and a series and a documentary on how, boy, top-notch, absolutely elite the Secret Service is. And people believe it. Again, go back to rule number one, where we started from. The media always lies. So people have seen these shows, these TV shows, fictional or documentary, whatever, and the Secret Service are the super competent. They are the cream de la cream. They are the it. And it's more comfortable. They start from that position. So the only answer, if you believe that, the only answer is they had to have been in on it. There had to have been a vast conspiracy going on here. And it's more comforting, I think, for people in a way than to say, no, they're just as dumb as everybody else. They're just as incompetent as all of these other people are. I think people do. I think they find a certain amount of comfort in that. We don't know who was in charge of the security. Because obviously, there was a lapse here. Now, I was talking about, you know, Trump's reaction to this. Another thing is, you had the sniper hesitating. You got caught on video. I think some of that hesitation, I've seen some angles there from where they were at and where the shooter was. There was a tree in between them. Another security failure. Not only did they not secure the building, there was a blind spot there. And nobody thought that was a problem. That's all the more reason that whole area of buildings should have been cordoned off. But it wasn't. Now, you had the people, you had Trump's reaction to this. You had the people going around telling, you know, reporting this guy on the roof. You've seen the video of the sniper, the counter sniper, Secret Service, I assume, counter sniper up on the deal. And he's looking through the scope. And then you hear the shots. You see him kind of jump and kind of move his rifle around. And then he takes a shot and kills this guy. Your mind, when I said this with Trump, and I want to go back to it. Your mind, when you're dealing with things, let's back up and talk about normalcy bias. Yes, I'm sure the Secret Service, this is their one, you have one job. Your Secret Service, you got one job. And you train for that job. But I don't care how much you train. I don't care how much you do that. Normalcy bias is going to set in. It's been like 40 years since the last attempt on a president. It's been 40 years. I don't care how much you train. You will get into a mindset of nothing ever happens. His security detail has been to how many of these damn rallies, and nothing ever happens. They train, they do all of that, and still at the end of the day, nothing ever happens. I don't care how much you train for it, you're going to wind up with that mental state. Now, when you have that mental state, and then your mind, your brain is confronted with something different. In other words, something actually is happening. What's your first reaction? In other words, if this was moving in slow motion and this was a, you can choose, hey, you can have nothing ever happens, or there's going to be a shooting, which would you rather do? If somebody were to be able to, like, if you could have multiple choice in life, if it was a visual novel instead of real life, and you get to a junction point here, now you get to choose. Do you want to deal with an actual shooter making an assassination attempt on your watch? Or would you rather this be like all the other countless times since you've had this job and nothing ever happens? You're going to choose, you would choose, most people would choose that nothing ever happens. They don't want to deal with all that. They don't want to deal with investigations. They don't want to deal with paperwork. They don't want to deal with their lives. Again, supposedly these people's jobs to quote unquote take a bullet for someone else that they may not even like. Anybody would choose if they were given the option to have nothing ever happened. As a result of that, there's normalcy bias and the people don't want to deal with it. When confronted with, no, this is because this is real life, this isn't a video novel, a visual novel where you get a choice. When confronted with something you don't want to deal with, your initial reaction is to try it. Your mind will try to create you're not actually seeing what you're seeing. It will. Now, it can only take a few seconds. When something like this is going on, you can sit here and watch the replays over and over and nitpick it. But when this is going on, this is all occurring in a matter of seconds, not even really minutes. A matter of seconds is going on. But in those seconds, a lot is happening. And in the background, your brain is trying to figure out some way that this is not actually happening, that this is going to be just like all of these other countless rallies that you've been assigned to, and nothing actually happens. So your brain is trying to process it in a matter of what's going on is not what's going on. It's just, you can't help it. Again, you process through this in a matter of seconds, but in a matter of seconds, somebody can be firing off several rounds. The sniper, if the way I've seen it, the counter sniper, if that tree was partially blocking his view, that is going to add to it because there's going to be an element of uncertainty. Don't want to be the guy that accidentally, like perhaps he's getting this radio chatter, the shooter on the roof, we're trying to send people over to Dow, and he sees some guy over there and he's thinking, but is that him or is that one of our people going up there? And there's a tree partially blocking it. You don't want to shoot your own guys. You don't want to shoot, you know, a local cop that went up there and it was a false report. Also, I'm sure there's a part of their training, I would think there would be, to be very, you know, as far as Secret Service goes, to be wary of people saying, look over here, there's something gone over here. I'm sure they are trained, because this would just make sense, to monitor your areas. If people run up to you and say, look over here, there's somebody over here, there's somebody over here, I'm sure they're trained not to be distracted, because if you had a professional hit going on, that's something they would do, to distract where everybody is looking over here in the wrong direction to create an opening. I'm sure they're trained to know you're assigned this area, monitor your area. When people come running up telling you, look over here, there's something going on over here, do not do that. Somebody else is assigned to that area. Don't worry about it. You just stick with your area. I think that's why you didn't see reactions. People expect Secret Service to drop everything and run over there where they're pointing, because that's what they would do. But I'm sure you can understand why that would not be beneficial in training. In training, you know, they're assigned an area, and I'm sure they're told, you watch that area. Bad actors could try to get you to abandon your area to create an opening and run over here. You stay with your area, somebody else will cover that. Only, obviously, somebody else wasn't covering that. That explains to us why when the people running to Secret Service in particular saying someone's over there on the building, they didn't jump up and go over there because they're assigned a different area. Someone else is assigned to that building, or apparently not. Now, of course, the immediate narrative was praising the Secret Service for protecting the president. The security failures present were so bad that even the media can't deny it now. Again, we've all seen the videos. You know, and one of the things that struck me, you know, first, I don't know, I suppose people process things differently. You know, you have the photo of the American flag flying over and Trump, you know, pumping his fist with blood on his face. And that's the image that people imprint in their mind. And that's what they take away from this. That's the when you talk about this incident, that's the picture. Their brain, you know, that's the video their brain plays in relation to what happened. Not me. The video that plays in my mind is the fat woman Secret Service agent that after he's in the SUV can't get her gun holstered, that I think had a flashlight attached to it for some reason in the middle of broad daylight. And she's sitting there trying to get the gun in her holster and just can't quite manage to do it. That is a video that plays in my mind. People talking about being so confused at this, you know, these security failures. Because again, most people are operating from this assumption that even though the rest of the government can't seem to do anything very competently, the Secret Service is once again an exception to that. It's how conservatives will go on and on about how horrible and incompetent the government is. But see, the military is different. The military is on our side. They're on the side of the people. The military is different. They're not incompetent. They're somehow different. And yet, no, they're part of the government, just like every other part of the government. But likewise, people created this exception. They look at different ways the government fails to actually do what initially was their jobs to begin with. They look at that and acknowledge it. But if you point at the Secret Service, they're like, well, not them, though. Not them. So my mind plays the video of that one Secret Service agent. You're watching the Secret Service running around. And honestly, you know, the guys with buzz cuts looked like the only ones that had a clue of what they were doing. The women looked frantic. And it came across to me, maybe I'm being unfair, I'm just giving my impressions, is to be doing nothing more than mimicking what the men were doing. If I was in Trump's shoes in that moment, I'm going to have a lot more faith in the guys with buzz cuts than in the two women running around. One of them can't put her gun in the holster. Now, to put a bit of a, I think, an exclamation point, a punctuation mark on this point that I'm trying to make, is go to the top. Who is the head of Secret Service? It's this Kim Cheadle. I assume that's how you pronounce it. I may be pronouncing it wrong, maybe Cheadle, but I'm just going to pronounce it as it's spelled, Cheadle. If it's wrong, I apologize. It's this Kim Cheadle. Now, she had various positions at the Secret Service. Her last job before taking the position as head of the Secret Service, she was the senior director of global security at PepsiCo. How much global security could you have for a soda water company? Like, if you're going up against Coca-Cola, if you're going up against Coca-Cola, you better have top-notch security. Well, of course, you would shoo her in to run this supposedly elite Secret Service. I'm going to read a little bit here from her Wikipedia, which I think makes the point I'm trying to make here. Cheadle took over the Secret Service following a turbulent couple of months in which the agency, best known for protecting presidents, has faced controversies related to the January 6th, 2021 attack on the U.S. Capitol. During a CBS News interview in May of 2023, Chiatel stated the Secret Service, which had a 48% departure rate, needed to, quote, listen to me now, quote, attract diverse candidates and give opportunities to everybody in the workforce, particularly women. She said she aims to have 30% women in the agency by 2030. So they have a 48% turnover rate. This woman takes over, and what's her number one priority? More diversity. Just like Boeing. It's just like Boeing. You put this person in charge herself, I'm going to say it, herself a diversity hire, and her number one priority isn't, well, let's address the turnover rate, there's something going on. No, her number one priority is we're going to replace competent white men with more women and more minorities. Perhaps we're going to target having more homosexuals or whatever. But her number one priority is diversity. It's just like Boeing. And if you have Boeing answers, you're going to wind up with Boeing results. It's plain and simple. This is just like almost verbatim Boeing's policy, isn't it? Again, some argue, and look, we don't know. But before we get off into, you know, really complicated answers, again, we have to theorize because we don't have the information we need. If we did, we wouldn't have to theorize. We'd just say this is what happened. We're dependent on a government investigation. We know they're not going to tell us what actually happened. There will probably be a report eventually issued, which will talk about security lapses, a need for more funding. There's always that. There's always a need for more funding. We're going to do extra intense training. There'll be some changes to policy and procedures and increased training. We'll need more funding for that, blah, blah, blah. And that'll be the end of it. But I think it's more reasonable. And before you get off into things that require a really complicated answer, to look at them and say, what is more likely here? And again, that's not to say this is correct. We don't have the information. I think a reasonable, at this stage, and this is really early on, more information may come out later. As I said earlier, if this was a inside job, as it were, it's going to involve basically solo actions by one or two lower level agents that had Trump derangement syndrome. If there was, you know, if that's the reason that area was left unattended and this guy just basically waltzed up there and did this, if, you know, it's not a profession. This is not the CIA trying to take out Trump. That's silly. But I believe, really, the most reasonable, at this stage, the most reasonable answer here is really quite simple. If you enact Boeing policy, you're going to get Boeing results. If we ever find out who was in charge of this particular security operation, and thus who failed to secure those buildings, does anybody really expect one of the guy, the white guys with the buzz cuts, was in charge or not? I mean, really, at this stage, don't have any information. Just, what's your initial reaction? Who do you expect to see was in charge? I don't expect to see one of the white guys with buzz cuts that were running around looking like they had a clue what the hell they were doing. I don't expect that's going to be the case. I may be wrong. Look, I'm theorizing. We don't have the information, but I don't expect that's the case. It'll kind of be telling if they never do tell us who was in charge of it. That in itself could be extrapolated to be your answer. But once again, before we wade off into things that require really complicated scenarios to take place, once again, let's ask ourselves, if you set Boeing policy, would you not get Boeing results? Plane company that can't keep the doors from flying off, and Secret Service that can't secure a presidential candidate, a former president, as it's looked at, a former president, in an open field with a handful of buildings, which should have been like the easiest security detail, you know, security scene you could be presented with, somehow they can't manage that. People don't understand it, and yet I look around and look the way things have gone, and I think that is probably at this stage of the game the most reasonable view to take. We'll wrap up on that note. I appreciate you stopping by. I'll be back tomorrow with the Parish of the Patriots program. Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson will be here Wednesday with the Orthodox Nationalist. He'll be back Thursday. I have no idea what he's going to be talking about on the Daily Nationalist Thursday, perhaps this very topic. I look forward to his take on it. And I plan to be back on Friday. Wasn't here last Friday. I had a lot of stuff going on, and then this dropped in the middle of everything. But anyway, I do plan to be here Friday to wrap up your work week, with hopefully some sort of humorous look at the news for the week. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up on that note. Once again, thank you for listening. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.